All right, guys. Well, we are back for, this is our second test pilot episode, and we're so excited to have our team back doing another Mythbuster. Something, you know, the cool thing about this is they're basically testing advice that everybody, seasoned designers will put out there to young designers all over. And joining us with Jordan and Mikkel and I right now is Steven. Steven, what's up? Welcome back.
How's it going, everybody? I'm super excited.
Yeah, this is going to be great, dude. So why don't you give us a little sneak peek of what everyone's going to be hearing in episode two?
Yeah, so for episode two, the four of us, me, Rubai, Narek, and Michael, we decided to kind of take on almost like a New Year's resolution, per se. And so it's like we wanted to set a goal for ourselves to better our life in some sort of way and see how that affected, you know, our work life, just normal everyday everything. And so you're going to get to see each one of us talk and test out this like short-term goal to kind of better our lives or better our career. And so for me, a little teaser, mine had something to do with 30 days of water. And you'll get to see and hear my story, but I think everybody else's is pretty interesting in how it relates to the design world and what we do.
Yeah, it's a refreshing kind of change from the design talk, which is good, but it all circles around getting better there. And you giving up water, only drinking water for 30 days, dude. I don't know if that's something. Wow. That's a good one.
Yeah. And it makes you question for those people that are close to you in your life, like how difficult would that be for all these people that I know just cannot stand water? I mean, Nick is such a coffee guy. I know the three of us are coffee people, but are you both terrible at that?
I've been actually pretty good about it over the last few months, especially working from home a lot more, right? Like I am cognizant. There was a time where it's like, I just would like, oh, I'm drinking enough coffee. Like, there's enough of my water. Because, like, you're supposed to drink so much. Like, the amount, I can't even remember. It's like a whole gallon or something, which in the grand scheme, like, that's a lot of water. Yeah.
But which is crazy.
I don't even know. I mean, I fill up a glass every, like, hour. So I'm drinking, like, a glass every
hour. That's
great. Yeah. But definitely, like, the amount of cold brew or coffee I drink, too. It's like, I feel like that counts in some way. It probably doesn't, but, like, I have bad justifications.
Right, because you need water to create the coffee. I know. Yeah. I never know if that's bullshit.
But then you need another glass of water per glass of coffee for the dehydration.
Yeah, and the whole caffeine issue is, like, a whole separate thing.
Well, this is going to be great. So, like, everybody did a 30-day challenge, and you'll hear a little bit before, a little bit during, and a little bit after their 30 days, and it should be great. What's the takeaway here, Steven? What did you learn?
Well, yeah. I think for me, I need to cut back on some unhealthy beverages, if that makes sense. Because I started to see some side effects, per se, when I wasn't drinking water. And those really started to show when I only drink water.
So, yeah. I listened to the episode today, right? And it was a great, I think the timing of the release is going to be great because it's kind of at that point where people are, who maybe set up resolutions at the start of the year, it's like now's the time where things fall off. And so maybe having this episode might jumpstart people's like, you know, inspiration to get back on something. Especially listening to the whole journey. I mean, you guys did it for a month and checking in, which is why I think the structuring of this podcast is so fun. Because we get to hear you through like step A through Z and the outcome, and then everyone reflect over it. It was a great episode. It really got me pumped up and inspired for that kind of stuff.
Good deal.
Yeah.
And yeah, maybe y'all three should also take on the challenge.
That's right.
I know.
Yeah.
I could do that. Maybe what you guys have to come up with good ones for us. That would be fantastic. Because don't you feel like this is the perfect time? Like, you not only say this is the perfect time at the beginning of the year, but I also feel like because you might have just a slight more bit of time in your day to better yourself. Maybe you're not commuting, or maybe you're gaining a 30 minutes in your day because of what we're going through. But I love this idea of doing it and challenging yourself. Let's just face it, we're probably bored to begin with, so get something in there.
Yeah, that's right.
I know, I agree.
And we get into, you know, someone else's, you know, 30-day challenge, and we all started to kind of, like, pick each other's brains on their said topic, and like, what did it look like for us in that area as well? And I thought that was pretty interesting because we kind of got to break down every single person's, without giving too much away, mm-hmm. phone usage. And so it's pretty interesting of how that may affect long-term as well.
Let's leave it for the episode.
Yeah. That's right. That's right.
Cool. All right, guys. Well, thanks for joining us on this one, Steven. And thanks for you guys taking this 30-day challenge. Each one of them did something totally different. So take a listen to Test Pilots episode number 2.
We are the Test Pilot.
Why don't we take that idea?
All the advice.
See if all this stuff is actually what it is.
We're here to test that.
Today is January 9th, 2021.
Do you guys have any New Year's resolutions?
Yeah, and I've been keeping up with it, so I'm proud of myself.
What is it?
To try and work out every day during my lunch break and Ooh. After work. So.
Wow, that's a great one.
I don't do New Year's resolutions.
Can you tell me why?
For me, it feels like no offense to people who do them.
No.
The people I've been surrounded by who do them, it feels like it's kind of like a fad. It's like very popular to do. And so I always was just like, hey, I'm just going to set goals throughout the year. Well, there's not necessarily one thing that I wanted to do to complete the year or anything like that. However, I do think it's a cool idea, a good idea for, new year. Let's start something new. Let's start, let's get back on track with whatever we want
to do. New year, new me, baby.
New year, new me. Hashtag. I guess I was just never into it. It never was like something that, it didn't spark joy.
All right, Mary Kondo. Narc, what about you, buddy?
I like the idea of New Year resolutions. I've never been able to actually follow through because I just, after a couple weeks, I'm like, screw this. I'm gonna just live my life. But the thing was, before this year, was I was always a student. So I was always like, something to do like at school or whatever. So this is the first like New Year where I'm like, I'm a professional or whatever. So I set a goal of, Because there's not much you can do now, especially like in LA, it's like the worst place to live right now. It's like the most dangerous place in the world right now.
Yep.
So, in terms of COVID, that's what I mean. So like we're not going out a lot or anything. So my resolution was just like social media based because I just want to, grow my whole brand. Like I just want to post more. And my goal for January was to post every single day.
Wow.
And it's something that I've kept up with. So it's like nice. The ninth day and I've like, I have them planned out and like I have something planned out for tomorrow and the day after. So let's see if I can follow through.
But do you know what it is though? Is so Steven, I totally get you about New Year's resolution. The reason I'm a big fan of New Year's resolutions and I've done one for the past, 4 years or something like that. And I hit them every single time because I don't make stuff and then let them go away really easily. I don't know. Maybe it's like freaking OCD or maybe it's not. But I think that once you graduate, I only started doing it once I graduated college. And the reason why is once you graduate, that's the end of the script for most people. And it's like now you just have to live for 60 more years or 80 more years or whatever it is. And the years are eerily similar. That's what I always think is that like this year is so simple. I don't know, it's a bad example, but next year is going to be very similar to the next year as far as like what it entails. So that's why like 1 year I wanted to get better about sticking to something and I was into running. So I picked 600 miles and I decided was going to run 600 miles. And the reason why I like that number was because you can't do 600 miles without being dedicated for a long period of time. So that's why I like that number because it wasn't like realistically, if I did 100 miles, it could be like I could just do 100 miles for the first 2 months and then just like forget about it. Or I could forget about it for the first 2 months and then pick it up later. But the things I've picked are big enough goals and they're always number based that I can't do them quickly. That's the whole thing out of it. So 1 year I did 12 months of guitar lessons because I wanted to learn a skill that I was a complete novice in. I had never picked up a guitar before, and I learned that I'm really bad at guitar, but I did it. And I don't play guitar anymore.
Hey, it's a hard instrument.
It's hard as fuck.
Yeah.
This ties into our episode in that I get tons of advice from these people older than me, farther on in their design career, in the intermediate or advanced stages of their career. One of the things that they always are telling me is things like work-life balance. You need to have a positive work-life balance. I'm like, have you tried being a junior designer before? Like, tell me for 1 second. You need to, your life is home base for your career. Do you guys find that people are constantly giving you advice on how to live your life outside of the office? I feel like it's constant.
Oh, yeah.
Well.
At the last agency I worked at, like, my coworkers were crazy because it was entertainment. So we'd have insane hours. Like, you never knew when you'd actually be off work. But it was like, yeah, it's not fun because you can't really find that balance. But these people were so dedicated to keeping that balance with their, like, physical health and mental health that, like, they would, on their lunch break, go take, like, a yoga class or something. And I'm like, how do you do that in the middle of your work day and then just come back to the office and just continue with your work day? Like, I feel like it'd be exhausting. But I finally understand it now that I've started doing it. It gives you that jolt of energy and you feel a lot more energized and you just feel a lot more motivated. So I think it's really important at the same time, because if you don't, then it starts to affect your mental health. You aren't as, like, productive, and it just affects everything overall because you just don't feel energized anymore to do anything or as motivated.
What about you guys?
Yeah. So, you know, for me, it's not separate. It's just life balance. You know, someone told me one time, it's like the work-life balance is, well, it's all life. It's all integrated in your life and your every single day. And so it's like, how do you balance all of it out? And so, you know, I don't know. I honestly don't know what the answer is. You know, it's, for me, it's taken day by day and just trying to get through it. And if something comes up that's a struggle or, you know, whatever, I'll take it one shot at a time. So it's, for me, it's not so much like I'm separating the two. It's, how do I integrate my life into this? What's best for me?
So your approach is almost the opposite. Yours is to, I'm going to bake them together and make like a, mayonnaise. You're like going to make it, like, you know, suspend inside of itself as opposed to keeping them separate, which is like oil and water.
Yeah. I mean, I'll say this, like, yeah, like once 5 o'clock hits and you clock out,
yeah,
like you want to clock out from work. I get that. But to me, work is just part of life. It's
what I found recently, because I feel like with school, it was always like, because you literally have homework. So you're never detached from school. So you're at school for like 10 hours and then you come home and then you're like, or you're like, I would go to the library because I couldn't do work at home. Like, I could never concentrate at home. So I would just like stay at the library and finish my work. So it was like I had classes and then I had more work. And then like it was just like a back and forth. And then the thing was, like, with work, it's like, okay, wake up, you know, get ready, go. And then at 5, you're done. Like, there's no one that's going to be like, hey, like, what'd you do after 5? You know, like, your boss doesn't care, like, if you, because, like, he wants you to, like, to finish until 5, you know, and, like, they want you to be efficient, but, like, they really don't, like, care what you're doing afterwards or if you're practicing or if you're learning or something. And I feel like at first, like, the couple of months where I was kind of like, oh, cool, I'm working. I don't have to do anything else at home. But, like, now, like, I feel like whenever I come home and I do put that, you know, half an hour, an hour into something, even if I'm just like doodling or something, or if I'm just like painting or something, I feel like it really balances that out. Cause, like, you know, I mean, if I can't go out and, like, you know, hang out with my friends or something for now, then I might as well, you know, just try to have some fun for my own at home, you know, like the safest way possible. So that's something unique.
That life, especially as a student, I didn't realize how much that would wear on me, and it was like eroding my brain. I felt like there was always more you could do, and there was never like a hard stopping point. You know, like I was always, even when you, because by the time you get to your senior year, you're literally not doing individual projects. You're just doing like five big, huge ass projects, and those projects are so nimbulous that it's like you could just always be making more for them or always improving more for them. And I remember I would feel guilty when I would take like a nap, or I would read, or I would, because the reason why I gravitated and I'm still so sucked into YouTube is because you can have a YouTube video streaming and still work. And that was like, I could enjoy myself while still working. Whereas reading, I remember it was such a luxury to me. And when I finally graduated, I remember I read like 20 books that year, because I was like, so just in bliss to be able to sit down with a book and read it and not feel like I was like cheating on my work, you know?
Oh man, I feel that so hard.
What the fuck is wrong with us guys, man? Well, we are just
you know what's wild though? I actually miss school, like college, so much, because I feel like I had a lot more structure and so many more resources available. Cause like my schedule would be like, I worked on campus too, which was like a blessing. But it was like classes, work, after that, go to the gym so you have a break from all your schoolwork, and then go to the library and just continue. And obviously, like as I mentioned, the company that I just last worked at, like I didn't know what I was going to be able to do after work. So it was really rough because I was so used to that. And then luckily now I'm back to that like 9 to 5, you can choose what you do after work. And at the end of the day, what you choose to do is for yourself, and it's you choosing to better yourself, or you can just be a couch potato. That's okay too, but
nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how does this tie into our episode? We're going to take that and see if it's real, because that's where the test applies, and that's what we fucking do. We're going to just make a personal life change. And, you know, I've got one picked out. I think you guys all individually picked them out, so I'm excited to hear them. But I think the real thing, what we're trying to show, is that it's kind of like just like sometimes you got to do like a little bit of pruning in your garden, or sometimes you got to do whatever it is. You got to throw away some extra junk in your house. I think that right now, especially in COVID, I learned a lot of stuff about myself, and some of it's like not, you know, great stuff. I think everybody's improving. I'm sure that I'm not going to be the only one that wanted to improve a couple things. I think that this is just a great thing to see if we need it still. So what is your guys's one thing you're going to change for this upcoming month?
So mine is to be a lot more mindful about my physical health, just because 2020 was a crappy year. So definitely focus more on that.
Steven?
Yeah, I'm for 30 days. So like I said, short-term goals. I'm going to drink nothing but water. This is like
bingo, great one.
I drink a lot of Dr. Pepper. This is not a Dr. Pepper. Dr. Pepper is not sponsoring this episode, but I drink a lot of soda and not enough water. I'll drink like sweet tea, Southern sweet tea, which is still loads of sugar, right?
Just lean into the stereotype, Steve.
off yet? No, I will not. you know, don't drink enough water, and I've seen that it's affected my health to some extent. Hopefully by the end of the 30 days of drinking nothing but water, I will feel healthier, my sleep will be better. You know, other things will improve in my life.
Dude, it's like a hack.
So, yeah.
I always think it's like a cheat code, when the keys to feeling better, if you're feeling shitty all the time, just is sleep and drinking water. And then one thing that's really nice about it, one time I did 30 days of nothing but water, things taste so much better. It's just like everything. It's just like your taste buds are like hyper aware. It makes food way more fun.
Wow. Yeah. See, I didn't even think about that.
And when you treat yourself to a soda, like we don't have soda in our house. So the only time I'll ever drink soda is when we go out to eat or like whatever. Like
it becomes like a luxury. Soda,
like it's like, wow, like Coke is good. But like
I feel
like when we have it at home, it's like I'll just drink it every day. And then like at some point, I'm like, this is disgusting. Like, why am I even?
Yeah, in December, I stopped buying Dr. Peppers for my apartment. And so, you know, I would drink it like with a meal if I was going out or like getting like fast food or something like that. I would definitely get it. And I have really bad sleeping habits and don't sleep well. And I don't drink enough water. You know, there's often times where I get pretty big headaches and I'm dehydrated because, you know, so those, to me, that's where the headaches are probably coming from, is I'm so dehydrated. And I literally need more water in my life. I don't do a good job of drinking it, you know, and
get yourself
and
so a
hopefully
jug.
This will change.
Bottle or
well,
a jug or
what's
something.
Funny. What's funny is like in college, I was doing this internship and, a guy that was working where I was interning, he was doing like a gallon a day.
Yeah. That's what I do.
And it is so tough.
Yeah.
I like couldn't do it. I would do like 3/4, but it like a whole gallon a day is to me. So
in the
difficult.
Beginning, if you'll pee a lot.
If you're working out, if you're working out, I think it's a lot easier.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I'm currently not working out.
So if you have to pee a lot in the beginning, but afterwards you kind of like
your body adjusts.
Like bladder, yeah, your body gets used to it, and you really do feel just so much more alert and all those good things. Yeah.
There's also a really cool app you should download where it's called Plant Nanny. So it reminds you to hydrate yourself, but also as you water yourself, you're watering these like plant seeds, and then there's all these different plants you can like virtually collect throughout the month. So
it's like a game.
It's like a game, and it's really cool because it'll give you reminders, and then it's just, it kind of becomes addicting because you want to know what plant you're going to grow next or what your plant's going to bloom into. So just a little thing to keep you motivated and keep track of it.
Steve, get into it. Do it. Download it. Get it. And mine, I am going to do the opposite of yours, and I am going to put a limit on my social apps. And I don't know what the limit is. I'll be honest, I actually didn't even try to do it. I'm going to have to just do it right now. And I think what I'm going to block for me, my poisons are, I'm definitely really into Twitter right now, and I definitely doom scroll a ton. And especially right now, you know, living through an attempted coup. I am on there constantly. I'm on Instagram a lot. Because I run a project that's based around Instagram, but two, I just go on there and just kill time. And three, I'm on Reddit all the time. And
really?
Yeah, I'm deep on Reddit. Uh-huh. And I think I get a lot of my news from Reddit too. And mainly because you can find a lot of different news sources. And I have a feeling that I am just on my phone too much. And I don't mind being on my computer because I do think that, like, again, it's part of my life, but it's like, at least it's in one position. But when I like stand up, take a piss, I just like, I bring my phone with me and I read, I flip through a couple posts on Reddit while I'm taking a leak. And it's like, that's probably not what we should be doing. Like, we should probably use that 1 minute to relax our brains. Probably. Right. I mean, I think I'm just inundated with social content and negative posts and like constant hate and just reading stuff about COVID, and I just like, I need to put a limit on it. Maybe it's going to be an hour a day, which seems like a lot, but honestly, I probably do 4 hours a day, man.
Well,
so I probably,
to be fair, like if you were to calculate all of those hours that you put into one day and then times it by 365 and you like look at the big number, because the book that I'm currently reading is all about like habits and stuff, and like it makes you more mindful too. But like the author pointed out, like, hey, if you were to multiply that and account for the entire year, that's basically the time you could have put into learning a new hobby or taking care of yourself or like learning how to bake or something like that. So it's wild. I think it's a great goal that you have for yourself because you're going to find yourself having so much more time.
I just, man, dude, it's so much. There's just so much hate out there, dude. And I'm not even famous. Like, I don't even have the hate coming my way. But it's just like, there's so much poison out there. And I probably should look the other way at some point. Like, you know, like the poison's not going away. And it's going to be there after the end of this, 24, 30 days, whatever we're going to do. It's going to be there. And depending on if I turn the apps back on. But it's just like,
I think it'll make you more mindful, though. I think any of these goals that we've set for ourselves, it's going to lead to being more aware of what like you're doing. And you're just going to really think about everything so much more is the way I see it. So it's going to be really beneficial for you. And if anything, like, you've learned that, hey, you need to, like, weave out that toxicity out of your life.
I think so, yeah.
And it's better for your mental health.
So, guys, we're going to jump away. In about 1 minute, you're going to hear us come back with the results of us living these changes and whatever the metaphor we're using is, after we pruned our garden for 1 month. And we're going to come back and we're going to reflect on it. So we're going to give a 1 hour later cut in a second, but that'll be about 1 month later. Wish us luck.
1 eternity later.
All right, everybody, we're back. We just jumped in time of just about like a month. I don't know. I get. Wait, what is the name of the guy in Back to the Future? Doc, right?
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. That's one of those movies that like some people are really into and I'm just not into for some reason.
How old were you when you first watched it?
Oh, man, I think I was probably like 12 and it was like on, but it also had like all those commercials in the middle. How can you watch a movie when you think about it? Yeah. That is the worst possible way to watch a movie is just by watching it on TV. Ugh, terrible.
No, it's like every time I've watched a movie on TV, I always feel like I'm missing something out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like they do cut out scenes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Actually, every commercial is like, right. Yeah. Every commercial is like a minute long and then it's like, okay, they took out one part of the movie that I know I've seen before, and I didn't see it this time. So
guys, we just came back. We all did sort of pseudo New Year's resolutions. It was actually a month, so I think we did them for just about 30 days. Mm-hmm. So I guess we can talk about this. Have you guys, now that you've done one, what are you guys' opinions on, like, resolutions or setting yourself, like, rules or goals? What do you guys think?
I think you don't need to wait until the New Year's or a specific time to start it. Like,
that's a good point.
If you want to start only drinking water, like, you can start it right now, you know, like make it today. Cause I feel like when you set up like these dates and these expectations, like you kind of set yourself up to failure cause you're like putting a due date on yourself.
Yeah.
But, if you just start it naturally, whenever you actually want to start it, then it'll actually feel more natural in the long run.
Yeah. That's a good point.
I also feel like it's just if you're waiting for the new year, you're more likely to like prolong actually starting. So It kind of just leads to a whole lot of excuses and your chances of actually getting to really doing it ends up just not really happening very often.
Yeah, just I was going to say, based off of just what Narek said, I've got a mentor, life mentor, and a big thing that he says is every day is day one, right? And so every day is a new the first day of making a difference or the first day of or setting a goal. And so obviously like in the earlier part of the episode I said, you know, I'm not a big New Year's resolution guy. However, I do like to set small goals for myself because I feel like it's a little bit more attainable if you do something that's a little bit smaller or like, hey, for the next 2 weeks I'm going to do this thing and then maybe the next 4 weeks you amp it up and then it becomes a longer goal. And then hopefully, you know, a year down the road, your life is better for it or, you know, your life is healthier and you can see yourself accomplishing bigger and better things as you move forward in time.
Yeah. I guess I've always been like a big fan of New Year's resolutions. And I also wonder though, what this one taught me is, honestly, I think life is really stressful right now. I'm sure everybody agrees. And like, I have it as good as it gets, but I still find a lot of reasons to be stressed out about a lot of stuff. And this one kind of felt like another stressor. And I remember one of my New Year's resolutions from a couple years back, the first one I ever did, was I wanted to run 600 miles in 1 year. And that one, I kind of was stressed out for an entire year straight. And in hindsight, I'm like, is that what you should be doing? Like, do you need another stressor in your life to be, you know, to be more motivated or happy? It's like, maybe I should have just tried to run more and just like made it a goal and like a focus. But I mean, in the end, I did run 600 miles, but like, I don't really know if it gave me anything other than just like, hey, good job sort of thing. I don't know. But guys, so maybe we can go and just sort of recap how our New Year's resolution or our our goals was. Maybe, Stephen, do you want to start with yours? Yours was the most cut and dry of them all. Get
yeah,
it?
Yeah. Because
you're drinking water.
No, so, you know, my big challenge, you know, I'll talk about it again. My big challenge for myself, or that I set for myself, was drinking nothing but water for 30 days or in a roundabout way, and I'll get into it here in a minute, is just like cutting out caffeine for 30 days. And, yeah. You know, I made, for me, you know, going into it when I first started, it was a lot more tough or a lot more difficult when I first started than, you know, later on in the month or later on in the process. And a lot of that kind of resulted in like caffeine headaches of like, oh, I haven't had caffeine in 2 days. You know, when I first started, so I'm like, oh, I'm getting a headache now. I relied on caffeine to kind of get me through the day, right? And so now I'm like having these withdrawals, and you know, I obviously,
is it crazy like, that it's withdrawal? It's like,
dude, it's
like
nuts.
A drug withdrawal. It's crazy. Nuts.
And like I've had that happen before, but it wasn't because I set a goal to myself or set a goal for myself. It was literally just because I haven't had caffeine in a couple of days. And it's like, oh, I'm going to go to the gas station or I'm going to go, you know, to Walgreens or CVS and get a Dr. Pepper and then be good. Or even run down to the closest restaurant by my apartment and get a, and like, hey, can I get a Dr. Pepper to go? Sir, we're a fine establishment. We don't do that.
Fine. Fine. Can I get a Dr. Pepper in a pint glass?
Yeah, exactly. But you know, for the first couple days that I like got rid of it and was just doing water, I was like, man, this sucks. Just like whether it was between the headaches or just craving Dr. Pepper because of the taste and like, you know, there's always these memes out there where it's like, oh, your organs when you drink water, and it's like them so happy and that sort of thing. And I've always found that funny. But I noticed when I was drinking water more late at night, it really felt refreshing, and it felt, you know, I don't know. There's a better word there that I'm trying to think of. But I would just like pound water at night, and I was like, man, this feels so good. And the next morning I end up waking up better than I usually would. And so then I was like, okay, I'll drink water throughout the day and just see how it goes. And I would have like, I don't know, maybe this is like 12 ounces. I'm not sure. I'm looking at the cup that's in front of me that I usually drink from, but I drink like 2 or 3 of those a day, maybe 4. And then like, if I went out to eat with some friends or, you know, got something to go and brought it back, I would still get water from their cup. So, you know, at the most I'm having like 5 or 6 glasses of water a day. And that may still not be the recommended amount, but for me, I felt like it was a lot. And so going to the restroom a lot, you know, that sort of thing. And
so would you consider that you did it? Like, was it 30 days of just drinking basically water?
Yeah. I mean, eventually I got into like, okay, I started to almost like cheat and was like, all right, what can I do that's not just water? I want some flavor. And so I was like adding like the squirt flavors, like, oh, here's lemonade. And then like, you know, like the powder packs that you put in your water or something, shake it up. So I did that a couple times, and I had tea a couple times just to like change it up because I was so bored with the like non-flavor of the things that I was drinking. But then, you know, as I got later into the process, I started to sleep better. I started to find myself feel healthier because obviously like caffeine and sugar affects your health to some degree. And for me, it was hurting a lot for a lot of years. And I even saw it when I'd go to the dentist, and my dentist would be like, hey, your gums are not the best. What are you doing? And I'm like, well, here's my diet. Here's the things that I'm drinking. And they're like, okay, if you cut this out, you'd be surprised what happens. And so I actually went to the dentist a couple of weeks ago, and they were like, dude, your mouth is awesome. It's way better than it ever has been. So maybe it's the water. Maybe it's just taking care of myself altogether better in general.
So maybe I'll just throw it in there. I usually go last, but I'm gonna go second this time. I think so I put a limit on my social media, and doing the saddest part about this entire thing and what it taught me. So I put limits on four apps on my phone, and I hit the limits on 3 out of 4 of them every single day for 30 days straight. Okay, so it's January 27th. And I'm kind of ashamed to admit that I have maxed out my timer every single day on Instagram and Twitter, and usually Reddit every single day. And that's not ideal, but at least I'm sticking to it and limiting myself. But I'm kind of excited for February 1st. So I
what was your limit?
It was 30 minutes for each app every single day, and it would refresh at midnight.
That is not a lot at all.
Oh, well, that makes me feel better, but I was just like, I literally hit it every single day. Sometimes I would hit the limit. I'll probably throw in the voice recording if I have it. I'd hit the limit at like 10 o'clock a.m. January 12th, 2021. But one thing I've noticed is I pretty much use up everything by the end of lunch. So the end of the day, I pretty much am just kind of staying away from social media. And I kind of think that's good. It probably lets my brain relax a little bit more. But I've noticed that I don't post or update my story as much. But honestly, I think that that's very okay. No one needs to see pictures of my food or my plant or anything like that. And I would have like the limit on my Instagram. And the worst part was I would go to, you know, post like a painting and I would hit my limit. And then there's an option like extend the limit for 1 minute. And I would be like, yes. And I would hit it and I would like post my post. And then it would just be like, then it would shut back down again. Have you guys ever used the app time limiter or something like that, or screen time limiter?
Yeah, I have. I did like an hour and a half, I think, at some point, and I still couldn't. Like, cause it's those free times that kill you. Like when you're just laying on your like on the couch or something, and you're on your phone for like an hour, you don't even realize it. That's when it gets you.
I just kept on hitting at the top of it, and I noticed that I did use my news app a lot less, which is probably a good thing.
Great.
I mean, it also we did this when there was like a. Like an attempted coup, and there was like all sorts of crazy shit. Like,
that's brave of you to do.
You didn't have a.
Ask, like, how was resisting doom scrolling that entire time?
So maybe that was a good thing. Maybe like it did keep me off of it. But what I did notice is I would finish on my desktop, and then I would go and I would like be cooking dinner, but I would hit my limit on my apps really quickly, and then I would not scroll while I was cooking dinner. So I would just put on music and I would stop. So maybe that was a good thing. But the other thing, it was like, I realized the reason why I do it is because I actually like it. And like, I was like, man, you know, maybe it's a good thing that I'm limiting it. But I think that we all need to have like a real talk about our social media, usage and diet and what we're looking at.
Mike, I want to know your daily average screen time.
Want me to tell it to you right now? I'll pull up my phone.
I literally think we all should. I pulled mine.
Okay, let's everybody pull your phone out. We're doing this. Yeah, everyone has an iPhone.
But you guys go first. Where do you go to? Oh, there's an iPhone.
Go to settings.
Yeah, it literally says screen time.
All right, listeners at home, do this with us right now. Pull out your phone, and I want you to have an honest talk with yours, and then right now decide, is that a lot? Is that not a lot? And then you're going to hear from four millennials on what our real screen time usage is. And we're recording this on a Saturday, so I want to hear what your daily average iPhone activity usage is. And we're going to... So, Narek, you start.
No.
Okay. I'll start. Mine is 5 hours and five minutes.
Geez. That's amazing.
That's, Steven?
That's amazing.
Mine is 20% down from last week. So it is 6 hours and 23 minutes.
Okay. Rubai?
So mine is down 32% from last week, and my daily average is 3 hours and 52 minutes.
No.
Oh,
way.
My God. Yeah. Okay. And
that's
Narek?
Insanely impressive.
What the hell are you guys? Okay. Mine
3 hours.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. I think I feel like I have to footnote this. I use my phone at work to watch stuff. Okay.
Oh my God, you are couching this one. Everyone,
mine is 8 hours. Okay. Oh, okay. But, okay. But most of that is YouTube. It's the YouTube app. Okay. Mm-hmm. So don't
over during Christmas. I was having a conversation with my parents and my brother, and, I asked, like, my dad is always on his phone, and so he's gonna hate me if he ever listens to this, and I'm calling him out, but I love you, Dad. I was like, Dad, you're on your phone more than I am. And he's like, no way. And so I did this with him, and he had like 2 more hours than me, and it was the funniest thing.
Okay, everyone, one more thing I want to do for this week, because we're on Saturday. Read off your top 5 apps that you use, and yeah, and then tell me maybe for the topmost one for this week, and then say how much you use the number one. For this one, by category, I have, in this order from most to least, I use Instagram, Twitter, Messages, which is texting, Apollo, which is Reddit, it's just a plugin, and YouTube. And I use Instagram for 6 hours and 54 minutes this week. That's really sad.
Are you doing it for this week overall?
Yeah, just this week. Okay. Just this week.
Okay, I just found mine, and I'm just curious to see if everybody has the same top app.
Yeah.
So mine was Instagram for 9 hours and 16 minutes this past week. Then yep. Twitter for 3 hours and 12 minutes. Amazon, but that's because I was referring to stuff for work, for 2 hours and 32 minutes. And then Facebook, because I get news from there. So
I don't put Facebook. I don't have the app on my phone. I only use it through Chrome on my phone.
Okay. Yep. Let's see it. Just to prove my point that I use this.
Let's give it to me.
It's YouTube. It's TikTok. Instagram, Hulu, and then Messages. So top nice. Two of my top 3 apps are like stuff that I watch long videos on, and then TikTok because I'm addicted to TikTok. So, and YouTube is like 18 hours, and that's all like all at work. It's just I just put it there and it just like autoplays videos.
I'm honestly so scared of TikTok. I feel like once you start, you just can't stop.
It's amazing. It's the best app.
I haven't either.
I was a OG Vine guy, so.
That's
it's better than Vine.
Whoa, fighting words. No, just kidding. So my top my top 5 are Instagram by a long shot, Twitter, Messages, Safari, and then Reddit.
Hey guys, we just wanted to take a quick break from this Test Pilots episode number 2 and tell you a little bit about our friends Skillshare, the sponsor of this episode. No matter what the rest of 2021 brings, you can make the choice by spending it to create meaningful and cool things on the side of your business. And Skillshare, with all of their online classes, helps you do just that and make the most of your time. With Skillshare, you can find inspiration all over their entire site. You can learn how to express your creativity in ways that you've never thought possible. In fact, in line with everything that we're talking about in this episode, we wanted to bring you and highlight a fantastic one by Eugenia Washington. It's called Confidence for Creatives, 5 exercises to grow your confidence and your self-care. This is a topic we get a lot of questions about, and I know I talk a lot about this with my students. How do we find that personal confidence that we all have within us? And in this class, you'll learn exercises and practices that can help you connect with your natural confidence. She has unique skills and talents that we all have, and what she's done with hers is she's found many ways to help you build the confidence to actually go out there after the things that you really, really want. Throughout this lesson, you'll be creating a confidence kit, which will become a visual representation of your confidence and your journey along the way. She goes into great things about account and personal brilliance, how to choose an iconic image for yourself, creating a pleasure playlist, and drawing a map of miracles. All this together gives you that confidence that you really need setting forth on this year. So, how do you do this? Where do you go? Skillshare is that place. It is an online learning community that offers membership with meaning. With so much to explore and real classes and things to create, these projects and everything you get not only help build your confidence, but help you even learn how other creatives are doing it as well. Skillshare empowers you to accomplish real growth. You bring color and beauty and fun to the year by adding vivid details and complex things to help everything come together. Skillshare is also incredibly affordable. Don't forget, an annual subscription is less than about $10 a month. But to get you even started for free, try this. We have a great deal from our friends at Skillshare. Explore your creativity at skillshare.com/deepen2 and get a free trial premium membership. That's skillshare.com/deepen2. We hope you guys enjoy it. Now, let's get back to the rest of the Test Pilots episode.
All right, wow. Rubai, let's go to yours. How was doing yoga and working out at lunch?
Oh my God, it was so rewarding. So today is Thursday, January 14th. I've been holding myself accountable. Since the 2nd, I've only missed 2 days of working out. One was the day of the coup because it was just a mentally draining day. And yesterday, because I've just been working out so much, it's really important to take a rest day. But overall, I'd say I'm doing pretty good. I actually look really forward to it now. I've also found that a way to hold myself accountable a whole lot more is bullet journaling, or just writing down everything that I've been doing, from like the workout to the number of sets to the number of reps. The good thing about this is I've been able to progress and increase the number of reps I've been doing. And since working out constantly, I found that I'm a lot more energized, I'm sleeping a whole lot more, I'm hydrating a lot more. I'm honestly really loving this challenge. It's a nice break from the computer screen, and I'm realizing that focusing on yourself and not just your career is really important. It plays hand in hand a whole lot. All I can say is I'm loving this challenge, and yeah. To really hold myself accountable, in December, I had gone on a BMI scale. So I was like, okay, let me get all these other things so that I'm fully dedicated. Made sure I bought some new workout clothes. I got a bullet journal to write down all my workouts, Apple Watch to keep track of it. I just wanted to really stay on top of this as much as possible. I found myself drinking a lot more water, being a lot more energized, sleeping a lot more, actually having more of a routine and staying a lot more focused. I think that's also why my phone usage went down too, because I wasn't on my phone during my lunch break anymore. I was being active.
It's a great point.
Yeah, I did have one time where it was like a roadblock. My mom ended up in the hospital a few weeks ago, so those like couple of days she was in the hospital, I just could not get myself to focus on working out. I was just like a basket case because of stress, but I did regret not working out on those days, because then once I finally got back into the routine, I was like, oh my God, I feel amazing. Why wasn't I doing this when I was down in the dumps? So yeah, I mean, just overall, I felt a whole lot more positive. And since I got the BMI scale, I was able to see results and like lost weight, gained muscle mass. It was awesome. I'm just so happy, and I'm addicted to it now. So I'm keeping it going. Got February started already.
Is there anything that you found that you enjoyed more over the other, like working out versus like maybe doing like a simple yoga sesh or?
So I found that like, what I did was I try to avoid rest days. So on my rest days, I had those be yoga days, just because I felt like it was a lot more just like rewarding, because the stretches just make you feel parts of your body you didn't know were tense and things like that. Today is January 16th, 2021. It's Saturday, my day off. I was just feeling really tired. My body was sore from my workout from yesterday. I almost wanted to make today a rest day since I kind of pushed myself so much. I powered through and I decided that it would be a recovery day and I'd still be active. I'd just focus on stretching. So I did 3 yoga flows, which was about 2 hours of yoga. And yeah, I feel amazing. I feel a lot more energized. So I actually think I might do some functional strength training in a little bit, probably before bed tonight, depending on how I feel. For the most part, I'd say like when I was working Monday through Friday, workouts were the way to go, whereas yoga was just something I associated with like relaxing and downtime. So like my weekends, every morning I would kick off the day with yoga, whereas in between my like shifts at work during my lunch break, it was just easier to do a couple of sets and reps of something with weights. So
do what I hear though is like, so what you said about your mom being in the hospital, I think is like the number one takeaway I hope that people get out of this episode, is it's good to have a goal. But even if you're falling short of that goal, I think it's like you got to look at like the trajectory. It's like even if you have a lot of ups and a series of downs, you know, like maybe you missed a whole bunch, you're still like keep the big goal in mind. And I think that the word, I'm not religious at all, but I like the term grace, having grace, and like having like grace with yourself and understanding, yes, like, you know, hey, there's some fucking serious stressors out there that like really take a lot of your focus and a lot out of you. And honestly, on those days, it's like, yeah, have some grace with yourself and be like, yeah, I've got bigger fish to fry right now, like life. And as a result, it's okay that I didn't work out for 3, 4, 5, 6 days in a row. Like, it totally makes sense.
Today is January 21st, 2021. I'm making this because Tuesday the 19th was the first time that I missed a post. And I had a long day and I was kind of feeling sick. So I just want to say that it's perfectly fine to take a day off or even a couple of days off, because in the end, all of this is just made up. It's all about, you know, social media and likes and followers and all that. And my health and your well-being should be the number one priority. So it's okay to take a couple of days off and, you know, get back into it when you feel like it. I feel the most creative when I also feel good, like, health-wise. Take a day off, take it easy if you need it, and then get back into it whenever you feel ready.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you definitely have to be forgiving and be mindful of what's priority in your life. I mean, especially just with how tough times are. Like, I was freaking out because I was like, okay, she's in an ICU with COVID patients. How do I know she's not going to contract COVID? Like, all that stuff was on my mind. And I was like, it's okay if I'm not working out these couple of days, because there's bigger, like, things that are important right now. I think the hard part was trying to get back into the routine after taking a couple of days off. But I read a book that kind of just taught me on how to try to improve by 1% every day. So I was just like, it's called Atomic Habits by James Clear. And I've been like preaching this book to all my friends, but every year my goal is to like try and start off the year with a self-help book. And I figured what better way to kick off the whole thing, like a whole New Year's resolution, than with a book that teaches you how to improve your habits and your mindfulness. So
Great first idea. Start your year off with a self-help book. That is like, because then you get one a year, and it's like, honestly, it's a great way to
kick off your year. And like, in this case, it was just like, okay, like, you want to better yourself physically, you can either just sit there and keep on saying it, or you can get up and do something about it. And that's really what the book focused on, and just trying to better yourself by 1% every day, some way, somehow. It doesn't have to be like the goal you set for yourself, but just be mindful of the fact, like, hey, you're trying to better yourself, and that's more than enough. Like, you should appreciate yourself and give yourself credit for trying to better yourself overall.
I have one more question before we move on to Narek.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. You're the first person I have ever met that actually does, like a real person, actually does a bullet journal, because I had this long-term theory in my head that no one does bullet journals. The only people who do bullet journals do them just to take pictures of them and put them on Instagram. Because that's the only thing you see, is if you type in hashtag bullet journal, because I think they're gorgeous. None of them, they look completely untenable and like absolutely the most useless thing ever, but it works for you.
Well, yeah, my reasoning behind it was, well, it's also the book that I read was a big help. Just like with the factor of like, yeah, it's really easy to just type something in your phone. And like, I feel like it's kind of just become like a second instinct for a lot of us. Whereas if you're writing it down in a journal, and me just being being a designer, having something that's really pretty is really satisfying. So definitely, for me, it was like after every rep and every set, it was rewarding to get to like write it down in the bullet journal. And that in itself is just like so rewarding. So it's just like, I have a pretty journal with all my stuff to look at now, and that's really satisfying. So
Mike, you're right though. I know some people who tried it and wanted me to do it, and one day in, it just completely failed and everybody got rid of it. It was like,
see, you have a bullet journal, so we're holding up our notebooks to each other, but you have a bullet journal. Mine is completely just like a complete junker, as I say, as I like,
I love
up.
That though.
No, it's, I like, love yours.
Full
that
of
like,
shit. Yeah, sorry, I got one too.
I like the idea of like doing stuff on other pieces of paper, but then also then going back and putting it in, I guess, my daily sketchbook or my daily journal or this sort of thing. But now I'm like, carry field notes and I'm good. Like,
I think the thing as like a creative, we just all love looking back at our sketchbooks. It's just
absolutely, it's my favorite
part. It's kind of like having like an album or photo album, and like you look back on it and you remember all those memories. With me, it's like you have that with your projects and like your creative flows and stuff, which is why it's just so awesome.
So, Narc, by the way, this is a design podcast. Let's talk to one guy who did something design bettering their creative life. Let's go. Snark.
Well, mine came because I have an art account, you know. So I guess a lot of designers, they say the only way you can grow your account is to post a lot, post every day, post consistently, you know, all these things. So I wanted to do that because every year at the end of the year in December, I do one of those Instagram analysis things, and then it tells me, oh, you made like 150 posts and you got this many likes. And I always think like, what would happen if I did 365 posts? Like, I know that's crazy, but like, what would happen? What would be the result? So this year, like even before we decided on doing this challenge, like I just January 1st posted something, January 2nd. Nice. And then we did the podcast. So I was like, okay, now I have a reason to do it for the whole month. I mean, and every single day I was posting it. And the why was just to see if I can actually do it, if this is something that's feasible, if I can recommend other people to do it, and then also just to see if I can grow my account, you know. So the way I did it is I would create stuff. So like, let's say if I had an idea for a post, I would just go and make it, you know, put in 30 minutes, put in an hour, Illustrator, Photoshop, Procreate, and then just post it, you know, like as long as it got to a level where I felt like it looked good enough, like I wasn't trying to make this a portfolio piece, and I would just post it. And then another thing I did was I went through all my old work from school, from other things, and I saw stuff that I'd never like finished. So I finished those, I posted those. And then like I would literally get my iPad, I would just lay down on the couch, and then while I was watching like Netflix or something, I would just like scribble or draw or make up ideas on Procreate. And the cool thing about Procreate is you can sketch, you can take an idea from a sketch to a final piece in the app, you know, because like there's so many, the app has so many abilities. So like I made a bunch of things in Procreate, and I actually got like more efficient in the way I use the app and like the way I use my iPad.
Your app, I mean, your work has absolutely levitated in like the last, you know, 35 days. Definitely can tell a difference between like the work you posted on the at the tail end versus like, not that your work wasn't there in the beginning, but it was just like you can tell making 35, that's, you know, probably 3 or 4 times the rate as some people are putting into just making. And I think that that's the key to literally anything in getting better at it is just doing it a lot. And I think that that's so underrated. What's the way to get better at playing basketball or shooting a basketball? It's by shooting a lot of basketballs. What's the way to get better at painting? By painting a lot. What's the way to get better at what Narc was saying, just making? It's by making a lot. I think it totally checks out.
I was gonna ask, like, I don't know if you guys have heard of it, but there's a lot of people who say like quality trumps quantity, quantity trumps quality. Like in this case, do you feel like, just like based on the analytics and everything with Instagram, do you really think like the quantity factor really made a difference and like kind of
took priority over the quality?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. What happened was I always thought like, okay, the only way you're gonna get like those crazy posts, because I'm sure we all have it, like you usually post and then you might get like 100 likes or something, and then once in a while you'll post something and it'll get like 300 likes, 250 likes, and you're like,
you guys are getting 100 likes on shit? My god, what the hell?
That algorithm, man. Time frame.
I mean, like, you know, I've been doing this, like I used to get like, you know, 20-30 likes, and then like, you know, I've been doing this for a long time.
I'm trying to get like 40, man. Like I'm trying to get like 30 also, and you're making 100 or 300. Like, yeah, crazy.
I'm just okay. I'll say for myself, like usually like that's the usual numbers I'll get is 100, maybe 80 85 90, 100. Okay, so those are my usual numbers. So then I decided, I was like, okay, I want to get those 200, 300 posts, because I've gotten those before, but it's always been on projects that took me like a month to do. And then when you post a nice long carousel, people like, they scroll through, they're like, this is amazing. They comment, they share it. Obviously those, but I'm like, how can I get those on like singular posts?
Yeah.
And actually got like twice. One post got like 315 or something likes, and nice. And the other one was a reel. It was an Instagram reel, and it got like 450 likes or something.
Wow.
January 6th, and I've posted my second Instagram reel, and I did this because it was something easy. I started recording while I was at work, and I just came home and finished it. I thought it was a cool idea. It was just a little stippling drawing. And to my surprise, in the first, 30 minutes or so, the reel got like something like 300 likes. It just went off.
Which was crazy, because like both of those things, like I probably did in less than an hour, probably within like an hour, like I did both of those things. So to answer your question, Rubai, I think it's kind of both. Like you got to have the quality. And I feel like for us, like we're at a certain level with our skills where most of the things we make is going to have a certain amount of quality to it. Just because we're like, we're so good at it, we're efficient, you know, like, and obviously like, I'm sure we all make things that aren't that good, but like most of the things that you make, you put in certain time, you know, because you have the formula down, it's going to be okay looking, you know? And the other thing is the quantity. And what I found through Instagram is every single one of my posts, like the people who liked it, they're not the same people. It's not like the same 100 people liking every single post. And some of the posts that I post, like it might relate to an audience that aren't artists or designers at all. They're like my friends who are just like, you know, my normal friends, my family members. They might like something. And then I'll post something that might relate to like sports or something, and all my sports friends might like it. And then I'll post something that everyone likes, you know, if it's like a cool drawing or something, and everyone's like, oh, this is cool. Every single person can appreciate it. So it's kind of like, that's the thing about social media is like, you're doing it for yourself, but like the people who are judging it, who are liking it, like other people. So like if I posted something like about like sports, maybe out of like the four of us, Steven might appreciate it, you know? If I posted something about yoga or something, like Rubai might appreciate it, you know? So it's like how do you balance that? So my formula is just to do whatever like I felt like at that moment.
For sure.
And then I just like sometimes I got lucky, you know? Like, and then sometimes I didn't, like sometimes like I spent like, you know, 2 days working on something and I posted and then like probably got like one comment or no comments or no one even like, you know? So it's like there's no formula really. It was just all about like just pumping it out and like,
yeah,
you know, making sure it looks good, but not trying to make it like this perfect perfect experiment or something.
Mike, do you find like a certain audience, like when you post a watercolor painting, do you find certain people are liking it over maybe something else?
The other thing that I'm doing is the more I post, I find that it's directly related to the number of commissions I get. So when I get more commissions, I go more heads down because I have to pump them out. And then I post them later. The rule for myself is I don't post a painting or a commission until they either gift it or they send me a picture or it's been given away, because the last thing I'd want is the gift to be seen by that person. It also feels a little bit disingenuous to steal their spotlight kind of thing, even if I'm the artist. And I find that when I do that, then I have an uptick in commissions and then I stop and then obviously I don't get any more commissions. So it's kind of like a push and pull sort of thing. But Narek, what I wanted to ask you, have you, did you gain any followers? I see you're at... You have 2,040 something followers. First of all, that is way more than what I have. Second of all, did you gain any during this by posting every day?
I did. Actually, I did, which is interesting because I gained like 50 something followers, but I also lost like 40 something followers. So together, like I actually gained like maybe 12 or 13 followers. And the thing about the followers is like, let's say I post something, I feel like when people like share it on their story or something, people come to my page expecting more of that same post, you know? So they'll follow me and then like they'll see like 2 days later I'm posting something that's completely different. So I guess they're like, I don't care about this, you know? So they unfollow me. So I get a lot of that. Like, and if you look at the Instagram metrics, it's like it's an up and down kind of like thing. It's never going up. It's always like going up and down, up and down. So like I don't really like I used to obsess over my followers and like, but I've just realized like if people are they like it, if they don't, like I can't, you know, because sometimes like I look at my posts and most of my likes and stuff are from hashtags, which are really important, and I've become very efficient with hashtags. Instead of like putting each hashtag by itself, like I have a text replacement on my phone, So I'll just type in something,
that's
and then
so smart.
And then it'll hack. It's like a crystal hack, and then it'll just put out all my hashtags at once.
Wow, another
thing. it takes like a couple minutes to just like research what hashtags you should use for like the posts, and I have different ones for like paintings, designs, what like different for each different post. I mean, it takes me like 1 second just to type out that word, and then it brings up all my hashtags. Another thing I use is Creator Studio. If you don't know what that is, it's an app that Facebook actually made, and you can log in with your Instagram account. And you can schedule all your posts. Because sometimes what I would do is I would make stuff on Saturday and Sunday. And because during the week, you know, you get busy or tired after work or whatever. So I didn't want to not have something to post. So I would just schedule at random times during the week. So I would schedule something Wednesday night, Thursday morning, whatever. So the whole week, at least a couple of the days I would already have done. And then the other days I could just fill in, you know, by just doing something. This is one of the things that I'm going to carry out for the rest of the year, because I can just make a couple of things in one day, you know, when you're feeling really creative, and then I can just schedule it for next week or two. And then the last thing is, which is probably the most fun thing I did, was make reels. And I didn't actually make any reels. I just took my TikToks and I just posted them on Instagram.
Yeah.
And I feel like Instagram wants us to use the reels because it's a new feature. And it was literally pushing my reels. I was getting likes on my reels from people that have been following me, but they've never liked anything, or they barely like anything. But I feel like it was popping on people's feeds, and I was getting random people because they have the new feed, the reel feed. And I was getting random people commenting and liking and DMing or whatever. So those are good tips, Creator Studio reels. And also another thing that I just to back off what Rubai said, I took a day off. One day I didn't post, and I was going to actually double post the next day, but then I feel like it would be a good thing for the podcast is it's okay to take a day off. Cause that day I didn't feel that good. I had a headache. So I was it's okay. Who cares if I'm posting every single day or something? This is such a made up thing. So I just took the day off. If you have a goal like this that you want to do something for 30 days, I feel like it's perfectly fine to take a day off or a couple of days off, because you know your health is the number one priority.
Absolutely, yeah. So maybe let's just around the horn for all of us. Are you gonna? Narek already said he's gonna continue with his for the rest of the time. Steven, do you think you'll continue with yours?
I think I will definitely drink more water. That's for sure.
Yeah.
I the day after, so February 1, which was, 5 days ago.
Shotgun Dr. Peps.
I did go buy a Dr. Pepper and drink it. And
was it glorious?
Funny, was it 2 liter?
No. It was just a bottle, a regular bottle.
One Dr. Pepper.
Just two-handing it.
And just score
to the face.
No, it's funny, but I drink it slower than normal. I may have drank it over, which is not good if you're drinking soda, because it stays on your teeth the slower you drink something, because it just your teeth bathe in that sort of thing. But no, over a course of maybe 2 hours, I had one 12 ounce bottle. Is that the size? Yeah, I mean, it was good. I was like, oh, this is what I remember it being.
So did you find yourself savoring the flavor a whole lot more and appreciating it much more since you didn't have it for so long?
Yeah, I wouldn't say that, but I mean, it was like...
Did you drink it out of a wine glass and just swirl it?
I should have. Beautiful. I should have made an Instagram reel doing that.
You really get the bouquet of I don't know what the flavor is. Pepper
all 23
and
of them.
Doctor.
All 23 flavors that I'm experiencing right now. No, it was I opened it and drank it, and then I was only a third of the way done within an hour, and I was it's just interesting that I found myself drinking it slower. Maybe it was because I wasn't my body wasn't craving it near as much, because I completely took it out of my life for 30 days.
Yeah.
You know,
I've noticed that's happened to me on cheat days.
Yeah. What about you, Ruben?
Just piggybacking off of Steven's thing, I was going to say on cheat days when I want to have a tub of ice cream or something, I found that if I don't eat ice cream as often, because that's my weakness when it comes to sweets, I tend to eat it slower because I tend to enjoy it a lot more since you don't have it as often. Whereas if you have something so often, you kind of just guzzle and it just becomes so normal, kind of like the way you drink water. So I was just really curious if that's kind of what happened to you.
Yeah. No, it did. It did. I mean, I'm not rushing out to get a Dr. Pepper necessarily anytime soon. And like every once in a while, even previous to this challenge that we kind of set for ourselves, I stopped buying like 12 packs or 32 packs or 28, whatever they come in, the big daddies. I like stopped buying them for my place, and I would only drink Dr. Peppers like if I went out for lunch or dinner or something like that. I would order it with my food.
That's like such a better way to think about it, though. Instead of having it around and it just being the default, then it becomes not a reward, but like just a highlight, you know. Yeah. Instead of it being like what the base is, it's like then you're actually enjoying it. Yeah, like with the ice cream, you know, you just get to really savor.
You have more appreciation for it because it's not around as often. It's kind of like the absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Mm-hmm.
With that's a great soda way. And ice cream. Yeah.
What about you, Rubai? Do you think you're going to keep working out at lunch?
I've been doing it. Got February started already.
Nice.
She's holding up her bullet journal, which I still am incredulous that people use, but whatever.
Mike, I expect you probably are going to release sometime on your phone.
I pulled those mofos right off that next day. I got rid of them so quick, and I did not regret it. No, honestly, man, I did not. It made me like kind of feel bad about using my phone, and like I know that social media is a cancer eating away at my happiness, and I'm very aware of that. But at this point, man, I feel like an addict, and I'm just not at that point where I just need to step away. But I also think what it did really do is it taught me that it shouldn't be the thing I do while I'm like going to the bathroom or whatever like that, and like maybe I just save it for lunchtime, you know, while I'm waiting for a video to render, whatever, those things is okay, but maybe I shouldn't sit there and use it all the time. Maybe I can just listen to music or whatever.
I was gonna ask, did you find yourself living in the moment a whole lot more? Because I mean,
yeah,
I just personally, like, being someone who likes to post on social media and stuff, like going out and things like that, I've had people say, like, don't worry about your phone, just enjoy the moment. Did you find yourself doing that a whole lot more?
Man, it's almost like, I like to think I'm a pretty, like, you know, grounded kind of guy. But what it did is it's just, sometimes I just am surrounded by screens all the time. Especially, I live by myself. I work from home. And sometimes it's like, I would have this big screen. I'm on a iMac that I work on. And then I would leave and I would spend, the afternoon on my laptop, which is a slightly smaller screen. And then I would reward myself with small screen, which is my phone. And it was just like screen to screen to screen to screen to screen. And I wasn't even like looking at the art on my walls, or I wasn't like really listening to the music. And I think that that's probably what you're saying. It's like living in the moment. It didn't feel like I was living in the moment or anything had changed, but I definitely was, my eyes were, you know, of eye level instead of looking downwards into my hands. And it's just like,
it's like more mindful. Overall.
Yeah. That's the thing, is I think that maybe we'll just say like a quick minute, you know, a little wrap up at the end of this. What did you guys get out? We asked this question at the beginning, but now that we've kind of baked into it, I think that people work New Year's resolutions up too much. And yeah, did we cheat with it being only a month? And like, yeah, probably. But we have, some people are going to be keep doing it. But the thing that I think, it's like the lessons along the way. You know, when I ran for 600 miles, was it like, was I trying to get better at running? It's like, not really. I was just trying to stick to a thing. Was Steven trying to, like, you know, better his health because he was concerned about it? It's like, really, no. He was just doing it because he thought maybe he should cut back on the number of Dr. Peppers he was doing. Same thing with you guys. I think that we kind of, at least being young, I mean, 26, you know, 22 to 29, I think we are just trying to take little morsels of, you know, betterment each year, and just try to better ourselves and hone our craft and hone ourselves to, you know, just get a little bit, you know, step down the road a little bit better every year. Am I wrong?
Definitely. You're right.
No, couldn't have said it better myself.
I think, like, we all get really caught up with our lives. And this, I feel like this whole exercise is more of like a factor of like self-love that we kind of set up for ourselves, whether it be like
self-love,
Instagram posting for your art because you love your art and it's a part of who you are, or you just being more mindful with your time and being off social media, or just making better choices when it comes to what you choose to put in your body. I think it's something that people often forget about nowadays because we're so caught up with that hustle culture. So just set time aside for yourself is like the one thing I really got from this. And that it's okay to put time into yourself and not always be working or focusing on other things.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
It just, you know, if you can just get 1% better over the course of 1 year, I mean, just think about that, incremental gains the entire, your entire lifetime. And that's all we're trying to do is have like an upward trajectory instead of, you know, flat or downward. And I think in having grace, like we talked about early on, you know, sometimes it sucks. Like sometimes I wake up and I feel like bad about myself and I have a bad day at work and I just take L's all day. And it's like, yeah, that sucks. But it's also, as long as you have more weeks where you're positive and feeling good about yourself, as opposed to, you know, those occasional weeks where you just feel like you're stubbing your toe every time you walk around. I think that that's kind of like the end goal. I think we're just trying to make our way down this winding road, right?
Yep.
Absolutely.
Play us off with a nice, like my heart will go on or some shit as we stand along the Titanic crashing into the iceberg. Any last things before we go, everybody, maybe plug your social medias and we'll sail off into the sunset.
At Narek Mug, you know, I want to get to 3,000 this year.
3,000 folks, push them on. And while you're doing that, also follow mine. It's Burpsky 15 or Pass the Sketchbook Around. Find both of those. Push us to 3,000 before Narek. Rubai?
Mine is my first and last name, Rubai Joffer, on Instagram and Twitter.
Nice. And Steven?
You can follow me at Overturf Design Studio on Instagram or Steven_Overturf on Twitter.
Nice, guys. And we are the Test Pilots, and we thank you all. We'll be back in, I don't know, 1, 2, 5, 10 weeks. We'll find out. We'll see you on the other side. Thanks, everybody. I really appreciate your time. Enjoy. Bye. We are the Test Pilot.
Why don't we take that idea?
All the advice.
To see if all this stuff is actually what it is.
We're here to test that.